The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
I invite you all to be seated. So when I asked what the family would like me to say, they said what they'd really like me to hear is that he's a good man. And I heard that. I heard that in the long but not exhaustive list of the things that Pastor Amanda appreciates that he loves. I heard that in how those stories revolve not around all the things that he liked to do and go off by himself, even though being by myself is something I do enjoy too. But it seems always to revolve around the relationships he had and the way that he demonstrates how important relationships are to him. And it reminded me of what comes earlier in this 11th chapter of Matthew. Jesus heard that John the Baptist is in prison. And so Jesus spends a little bit of time reflecting on who John the Baptist is. And I love the way Matthew characterizes this. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal places. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one who about whom it is written, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you." And truly I tell you, among those who are born of woman, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And as I was listening to these stories, and I was listening to the stories the other day as we were planning this service, I didn't know what text we were going to read, but I'm thinking about these stories, and I imagine John must have been a guy about whom people would say, "Well, what did you expect to see? He does what he does. Did you expect him to tell people that he was retiring? Did you, you know, what did you come here to see?" And I think ultimately what Jesus says about John the Baptist is he's a good guy. And what makes us good? You know, we do hear Jesus say that no one is good except for the Father when they tried to call him good. But I think that was more him being a little bit irascible than anything else. But, you know, I hear in this the way we understand what it means to be somebody who responds to the call that God puts on our lives. Someone who does what they feel like they're driven to do. Someone who makes no apologies for what they've decided to do. Someone who, through everything they do, demonstrates what kind of person they are. So that even though it might be surprising to you what they've done, once you reflect on it, it's really not all that surprising that they've done it. And the other thing I hear in these stories about John is it reminds me of what comes in 2 Timothy at the beginning of the chapter, where Paul says, "I have been poured out as a libation." And then we hear the words that Paul speaks in the rest of this, but that's part of being. What does it mean to be a good man or a good person? It means that we are poured out for each other. It means that we're not caught up in social climbing. We're not caught up in how good we are, how smart we are, how competent we are, even though occasionally we may remind people. You know, we're not caught up in all of the things that bring us personal glory or fame or the rest of it. But we are lifted up by the way we pour ourselves out for the people we love. We are famous in our own heart for the way that we love the people we love and the way we live our lives on our own terms. And the way through the love that we experience through the death and resurrection of Jesus causes us to remember what God tells us through the waters of baptism. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, whatever gifts you have or haven't been given, you are the person who can do what you have been called to do. And those people in our lives who live that out, who show us who they are by how they love and how they live, and who can have lists of how they're loved written about us, it doesn't make us perfect. It certainly doesn't always make us agreeable. And you can ask my wife, it certainly doesn't make me agreeable all the time. In fact, probably before I left the house, she'd tell you about how disagreeable I am. But what it does mean is this. We are called the saints of God, not because of our goodness, but because of what God does in us that transforms us from people who are concerned about what we want to how we are poured out for the things that people need, so that we are driven by the love that God gives us, so that we can see in others the love that God has instilled in us, so that we can see in the people around us the value that God has given to us. Not because of anything that we've earned, but because our simple humanity given to us by the grace of God is enough. And as I think about this text, come to me all you who are weary, all you who are brokenhearted, and I will give you rest. These last couple years that have felt like a long couple decades, I know a lot of us are tired. A lot of us need rest. A lot of us need to hear the good news that it's not about what we do, or the good news that it's not about how we can make things normal so that people around us don't have to feel weird being around us. It's not how we put things together the way they used to be. Because the fact of the matter is, one of the things that we realize, not just through COVID, but when we lose someone we love, is things cannot go back to the way they've been before. And it's not okay. And there's nothing fun about it. And there are moments where it feels like there's nothing good about it. There's nothing hopeful in it. There's nothing that gives us any hope that things will ever feel right again. And it's in that space that we hear the call of Jesus. Come to me when you are weary. Come to me when you are brokenhearted. Come to me when you think the sun will never shine. Come to me when you think that nothing can ever be right again, and I will give you rest, and I will give you peace, and I will give you hope. And the thing that I find so amazing about the love of God is that Jesus does not say to us, I will make the pain go away, but Jesus says to us, where I am is where you are. And if where you are is a place of tears, then I will weep with you. This is the promise of the gospel. This is the gift that we people of God, both as family and friends, have been given and give to each other. We are not a family in which when you laugh, the world laughs with you, and when you cry alone. But we are a family where we laugh together and we cry together. And we are the hands and feet of that love every time we get together. So as we go out from this place, and we'll mourn, and we'll grieve, and we'll tell stories with tears and laughter, and we'll remember the things we love, and we'll remember the things that frustrated us, which may cause more laughter than tears sometimes if your family's like mine, and we'll know that things aren't okay, but they don't have to be okay for things to be all right. And where God is, even though we grieve, things are all right because we are in the hands of love. Amen.